A Broaden Education is a podcast on a mission to discover roots through conscious conversations about EdPats. EdPats are educator expatriates working in institutions outside of their home countries. Now let's get into this episode. For those of you who've been rocking with Abroad in Education for a while, you vividly remember episode 43 when I shared my experience about a romance scam from abroad. It was such a pivotal life experience, and rather than going into hiding, I decided to share the experience publicly. I talked about it in a podcast episode, I featured the story in a travel noir article, and I dedicated the entire season 4 of this podcast to talking to other women about their experiences. As I say all this out loud, it sounds like I'm doing the absolute most. But honestly, being in connection rather than in isolation has truly been the healing power that's allowed me to get in front of this mess. Remember I told you the previous episodes were recorded in 2021? Well, that was 1 year after the scam, and I wasn't quite ready to center myself because I guess I was still in the healing process. But it's been 3 years post-scam and 2 years post-recording. So getting a little off the schedule plan, I decided to reach out to Nicole, the soulful expat, for a semi-quick check-in to discuss how her thoughts have changed about relationships abroad, how they've remained the same, or how they've even evolved. Alongside her story, I sprinkle in a little bit about me and where things currently are when it comes to relationships. I love her idea about showing up for ourselves and learning to become our own relationship gurus. It's almost like a call to show up and not just be the creator of our peace, but to actually participate in peace and allow it to center our intimate evolution with love and relationships. As usual, this episode is on the longer side, but it's definitely one you'll appreciate after listening. Sit back, sis, and relax. Okay, Nicole.
Yes.
Welcome to Abroad in Education.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here again.
I know. I'm excited because you got to listen to the episodes recently released. Sister Circle on Relationships Abroad. First thoughts?
Yes.
Second thoughts?
Oh my gosh, time really truly flies, because at the time that we recorded that, I think I was still in a relationship in China, and I don't even live in China anymore. I felt that like a lot of my core values have remained the same, or ideologies around dating. And I was quite proud of myself because, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm growing and evolving so much. And though I've grown and evolved since the recording, I still was able to hear my core message,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Which was this idea of realizing that even in the whole dating abroad, where my limitations or barriers were.
Yeah.
Right. So listening to the recording was like my realization that I had once I only wanted to date, let's say, a Jamaican man, someone that was from New York City. And then when I was starting to being open to like other cultures, and even as I was listening to it, I realized that I was still unraveling and going through this, like, legit. I feel that my playfulness is still there. Like, I feel like even though I'm currently single, still have so much like hope about like my person.
Yeah.
I almost feel like I can cry because it's quite emotional because I still felt, I don't feel defeated. I just feel like, oh shoot, I'm still really unraveling and getting to know myself.
Yeah.
I'm still getting to realize that, you know, we're always going to have an area in our life that might not be the easiest. and it might be the part that you need the most healing or you need the most unraveling. And I'm thinking probably this is my area. Mm. And I'm like, okay with that. I don't feel like a victim. I still feel very much empowered by it, which is like the beautiful thing. Cause like, as I was listening, I was thinking to myself, I remember sharing these stories, also thinking about how I've created, manifested these also beautiful situations. And I feel like my guy is just right around the corner. I feel like I'm getting a taste of like these little things that someone really wants to offer me.
Amen.
And even, you know, and I think that's what felt really beautiful about it. I think that oftentimes the only time we feel full praise of something is when we get the reward. And I'm realizing that I'm truly appreciating and honoring my journey.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I love that.
The fact that I can really appreciate these individuals that I'm meeting on my journey. And I just felt like I'm happy that I can be in appreciation of that.
Yeah.
I've definitely learned a lot about dating and what it means. I will say that since listening. I've realized how important it is, like the healing, having self-awareness, but ultimately learning how to be your own guru. Like the person you should know best is yourself.
Amen.
And the reason why I say that is because, especially when it comes to love, like I must do A, B, C, D, and then I'm going to find my person. And I have been given so many examples that it's not really the case. Like I remember meeting someone since moving to Bangkok who told me quite frankly, and she's Black, she was like, yeah, my now husband, and she's pregnant with her second child. She said to me, we were just sleeping with each other. Mm. Like we were just sleeping and I was dating a bunch of other guys.
That's how the relationship started.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she said, I think 5 months in or 6 months in, he asked to like get married. Mind you, this guy did not want any babies, was not looking forward to be married. And I didn't feel that was an accident that that conversation was being presented to me, because I feel like it was a reminder to me to just have fun and loosen up.
Yeah.
And not necessarily, oh, Nicole, now you need to go on a effing spree. And if you're listening to this, there's no judgment if that's what you're doing, right? But I felt like it was a reminder that you get to have fun and play as you're trying to get the thing that you want. So like if I'm, you know, and this is just like, if you're listening right now, like sometimes unconsciously we might be very rigid in like the approach. So especially with dating abroad, you're like, I ain't gonna sleep with this person. I need to do it A, B, C, right. Like how they told me.
The rules, the hidden rules.
Yeah, right, the rules. But you know the rules in your heart, you know yourself best. We can always take from other sources, but we have to really learn how to listen to ourselves, like what feels good, what feels right. And I didn't feel that that was a coincidence when that young lady said it to me, because think about it, like for anyone listening, most of us, if not all of us, if you went on a date with somebody or you were just sleeping with somebody, you're probably, I mean, like 99% probably not thinking, okay, this might be my husband. Right? You're probably not thinking that. And, but yet we might think, for example, if I do ABC, if I don't sleep with this person in 60 days, if I only tell someone I'm looking for a husband, that's going to guarantee it. And I feel like that wrench was thrown in, like, to let me know that just, like, have a little bit of fun.
Yeah. In life.
As I said, guys,
in life.
Yeah. Just in life. Like, in the pursuit of your desires, even something as wonderful as like romance, love, partnership, have some fun. And best believe, after I got that download and that realization, your girl was in these Bumble streets. It was like, you're gonna swipe.
Wait, look, wait, before we even go that far. Because I'm asking you what you thought about the episode, but I also have had time to reflect on it as well. And, you know, I'm realizing, Nicole, this chapter, as far as relationships abroad, has come to an end. Like, even the conversations that I'm having, you know, post releasing the episodes and the mini episodes that I released in this series of relationships abroad, it's come to an end because I feel like at this point I'm not going to say healed, but for the listeners who remember, this whole conversation started from a personal romance scam. And, you know, this was the time that I met this guy, Alex, here in Dubai, and met him over Bumble. And COVID happened, dropped at the same time. And we spent a lot of time together during the lockdown. And, you know, not necessarily that one, two, three, this is what you'll get if you do this. It was almost like I had met a person, like he was the manifestation of what I had been asking for. And then once everything came to the light, as far as the lies, the scamming, the so many ugly things that happened, I continue to say today, like, if he wanted the money, I could have given him the money. Just leave me with the romance, right? And it's taken me a while to heal from that. So one of the things that I did was opening up the conversation to other women to just basically share their own experiences with dating abroad and the whole idea of success and what does it look like the more educated you get, the more that you acquire, you know, and then they say it's more difficult to find a person. But when I was listening to that episode, when I was editing it, Nicole, I was like, OMG, I love everything about you all's perspectives. I love how raw it was. I love how each individual had their own story, but in everybody's perspective, exactly what you're saying now, Nicole, there is still hope. There's not this brokenness that, oh, I'm going to be single, I'm never going to be this, or belittling the self, or all of the critiquing the self. It was exactly what you're saying now. We're good. And of course, Keisha, she eventually did get married. But it's one of those things now where I'm like, I'm just excited about what's next.
Definitely. I think one thing I will say is the importance of having friends. Also, of course, when something's important to you, I think it's important to share to people who are close and dear to you. And the reason why I say that, because some of my close friends know that I would love to be in partnership. I love being in relationship. I've had friends like, Nicole, you haven't swiped. Like, when are you going on a date? I mean, there's no other form of love than like your friends nurturing you in this aspect, because it's such a personal thing. It's so easy for us to ask about our business, what outfit we're wearing, what brunch we're going to. But oftentimes we may not say like, when's the last time you went on a date? Or how's the dating going? Or, you know what I mean? Or even someone to encourage you. I went on a trip with someone here in Thailand, and sure enough, she took my phone and she was on my Tinder trying to, so she goes, Nicole, just go on a date. And I even looked at that whole situation differently and how beautiful that is, because sometimes we could say, okay, I want to go out on a date. I want to, you know, and then you just, you love your apartment. I love my apartment. It's just easy to be comfortable. And having other friends just like, check in. I've had two since I've been here, literally just like, Nicole, just go on a date for the sake of going on a date. And sometimes, you know, like I can hold my friends accountable to like their goals, fitness, whatever. And I'm just happy that I have the kind of friends who can hold me accountable on an area that maybe I'm not quick to run and do. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, and I didn't realize how beautiful that could be. And I let them know. So even if they were to listen to this, I said to them, thank you. Thank you for loving me in a way when you see that I'm falling off. Like the friends who recognize, oh yeah, I see you doing the coaching. I see you doing the conference. I see you doing this. You need some love too. Like, see, you need a hug.
I think that's deep. I think that's really deep, because I find that, you know, rather than, I don't have accountability, so maybe I'll have an accountability friend that's just like, have you gone on a date this week? It's 5 o'clock. Yeah. Have you gone out on a date? I don't have that. But I'm wondering, because the funniest thing about my relationship with these apps, Nicole, is even though I'm on them, it is very rare for me to actually meet someone, right? So I am swiping, I'm messaging, and I'm avoiding the app oftentimes because I'm like, this is boring, or I'm not stimulated from this, or, you know, it could just be another conversation and then you engage and then, you know, it's nothing after that. But yeah. I'm not forcing myself to actually meet up with people. And I've only met up with one person. So, you know, am I even, can I claim to be in the streets if I'm not in the street?
Right. It's a very conscious thing, but I think you said the key thing. You're very aware, by the way, Tiffany. You said my relationship to the app. I think that's a very important thing, right? So we talked about awareness, but most times we don't do things, or if we need to uncover or heal or understand, is our relationship to something. So I think spending time, what's your relationship with online dating? Like that might be a question that you might want to ask. Because if it's negative, right, that would be where the resistance comes from, or the lack of effort. Most of us who are on apps actually don't like them. But because the way society is, because of the countries we live in, it is the only way for the most part that you can meet someone, right? So it's like, once you start asking yourself those questions, that's when the shifts can happen. And it's like, how can I change my relationship with this app? I purposely did the paid version of Tinder because, you know, there's always a stigma with Tinder in general.
Yeah.
Even though I've known people to meet people on Tinder and get married. I do know people who did, right? But that's a very low percentage, maybe compared to like everyone that's on Tinder. So for me, because I know it has that negative stigma, I said, you know what? Let me upgrade myself. Let me be in charge and see who's liking me. So I'm spending less time. And it doesn't mean that I found my Prince Charming, right? But I figured, how can I change my relationship to this app, essentially? Mm. Or how can I make it a more pleasurable experience? And I think that the awareness part, just with anything, is the only way to shift the behavior to find what the resistance is. I mean, even in addition to using the apps, I have made a more conscious effort to just, I do live in Bangkok. It is a big city, to go out more doing the things that I just really like, so that I'm not solely relying on the app. Because to be honest, I don't like the apps either, right? So for example, I found a reggae spot. One of my colleagues put me onto a reggae spot here in Bangkok. I'm usually thinking, oh my gosh, how amazing it would be if I met someone there. Because right away, I would know we both like reggae music. You know what I mean? Or if I go on a Saturday and I'm listening to hip hop, because anyone knows me, I love music, period, right? So even going to that one place, it's one place, but it's still a place where I could possibly meet someone, right? So that's something that I said I would make an effort to do, just doing the things I naturally like doing, so that maybe I can meet someone. Because that happened when I lived in the UAE, to be quite frankly, and even when I was in China. Like, even though I was on the app, my boyfriend at the time, I met him at a Black Expo. I met him out. So I still believe that there's a possibility I could still meet someone out. But it's like the options is like my backup plan, you know?
Let's steer in a different direction, because I'm thinking more of like mirror work, because I hear everything that you're saying. And it's one of those things where I swear to you, Nicole, like my recent encounter with going on a date with somebody that I met on Tinder, and this brother, mixed German and Ghanaian, looking like DJ Khaled's cousin, he was just fine, right? We started talking on a Friday, and then by that Saturday, we started talking all day Friday. By that Saturday, he was picking me up to take me out to dinner. This is the guy I said pulled up in the Maserati. And I was like, okay, this is cool. You know, this is really cool. We had an amazing time. He's going through photos in his phone, showing me his experience going to Ghana for the first time, telling me about his family, this beautiful, 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 amazing conversation. And it went nowhere. It went absolutely nowhere. I have not talked to this man since then. And I feel like it's the perspective, because what I gained from that experience with him was how I want to be treated, right? Like, there was no getting drunk, doing the most. There was no, like, uncomfort, me feeling like I can't talk. It was just, like, fun. And I'm like, I want to attract more of that. And even with it, have I gone on another date? No. Have I even initiated something with someone else? No. But I think that's the thing. Like, not necessarily, and maybe it goes back to that journey. It's not necessarily about the husband and the kids. It's the journey of meeting these, like, I can go through a catalog now and say, I want him to be funny. I want him to, you know, and just fill in the blank from the experience. But I do wonder if it's me, because I can meet an amazing person, but I'm not chasing him. I'm not pressed about not hearing from him. And it's almost like I'm nonchalant about whether or not I'm in like a committed relationship. It's like, I don't know, like I've lost the idea that it's going to happen. I'm like, I'm not a yes or a no. It's just almost like, whatever, inshallah. And if it happens, it will happen. If it doesn't happen, I'm happy. I got my home. I can sit around and watch Netflix. I'm good. But it's also not healthy, like a lost hope. But then also the universe is saying, here's something, you know, this feels good. This feels good. You know, don't just stop here. Keep going. And I don't know.
I mean, a neutral space is always the best. I mean, it's always a common, you can always easily go either way, which is always great. But I think it's like what you said before. If you feel in your heart that there's something wrong or not good about you doing this or just feeling so relaxed, and you might possibly, because there's something you need to dig deeper and kind of like understand, like, is there fear with going and looking for someone? Like, I don't know what your family life is like in regards to relationship. Because, you know, we also have unconscious beliefs about, like, our family. Today, I was talking to my supervisor, and he's been married for 5 years. And I asked him, I was like, how did you know? Like, why did you want, like, you know, your wife? And he said to me, I knew I wanted to, like, be better, but what I loved is that I didn't feel like I needed to change who I, like, I need to be a new person.
Okay.
And honestly, I felt like that was spirit talking to me. I felt like that's what I want. Like I want someone who wants to enhance me and that I become a better Nicole, but not someone that's gonna like the idea of me. And then when they get with me, they're like, okay, I need to not wear this, do that. Like, that's generally my fear, right?
Yeah.
But it hit me like a ton of bricks when he said that to me, because I felt like, ooh, that's such a great feeling.
Yeah. Right?
And I'm sharing that because sometimes there's so much juice. I know before, like, I was engaged when I was much younger. I was never the girl, the typical girl that, like, look forward to a wedding. Like, I know most people say, like, think about the day they're going to get married. Never for me, right? And at first, I used to be like, yo, that's kind of weird. Like, why don't I feel like that? Until I started uncovering what my beliefs were about marriage or partnership. For me, always, initially, my younger days, it felt like bondage. It felt like I didn't get to be who I am, or to stop doing all these things. It was through years of realizing that, like, I can still be me. Like, there's someone out there that might want to live in another country, might want to, you know what I mean, want to be adventurous. But I didn't realize until I started unpacking what that meant. It's just the same way, like, dating outside of my race or dating outside of someone that lives in New York. Why? New York dudes are just like, they got the cool factor. They got the swag. Like, I didn't realize, and because that's all I was seeing, like, my only association was that, right? And we fear what we don't know, what we don't understand, right? Yeah. Our brain likes to keep us safe. And then the whole outside of my race, my culture is such a big thing. And I felt like, it wasn't so much, oh, just not the whole idea of only around, like, Black love, but I thought that if I were to be with someone else, it would mean that I would no longer get to be me. And like, who will appreciate Jamaican food and like listening to reggae? So I started making up all these things. And that's where that healing understanding, because sometimes we make up things, and I say make up because we don't really know it's true, right?
Yeah.
But we create stories in our mind of what something else means, as you said, our relationship. And I think when we start to really do the undoing of those things, that's where that healing comes, and then we can like embrace the dating, or then we can, you know what I mean? It's just like when they say, oh, don't chase on that. Like, I'm very firm in not chasing a man, but that doesn't mean I can't show interest. That doesn't mean I can't send a message like, hey, I'm not going to now send you a message every single day now, but I'm letting you know I'm interested, you know? But you get what I'm saying? But it's like, those are like these small little adjustments that I've had to make, but I didn't realize I had all these blocks. So it's easy to just be like, oh, no one's dating black women. Or so easy to be like, oh, dating abroad is hard. And I was like, mm-mm. There are people abroad who are in partnerships. They're probably just not talking about it because they probably didn't have these blocks. Or maybe they came from a family background where they had a lot of love and partnership, and that's very normal for them. But I had all these other layers of things. And I feel like even just listening to the podcast, I realized certain things that I was going through and like where I'm at now, right? Like, I feel like the added thing now is realizing that it is okay to have fun as I'm dating. Like, I can still have fun and still have standards. Fun doesn't mean I don't have standards, and fun doesn't mean that I'm out of integrity with myself. It doesn't mean I'm just throwing caution to the wind, right? It doesn't mean, oh, she doesn't want like a husband, but like, if I want to go on a date today and I'm just meant to him today and I want to have a good time and it feels good in my body, like a full body yes, I get to go do that.
Yeah.
If I match with someone and I'm not feeling the vibe and it doesn't feel like something I want to pursue, I don't have to do that. If I meet someone and I vibe and he's like, come to Singapore next week and I have money, or he's sending me out and it feels like a full body yes, I get to do that. You get what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So that's kind of like that fun part. Like, things don't always have to be mutually exclusive. Like, they actually can, excuse me, they are mutually exclusive, but at the same time, they still go together. And it doesn't mean that because A happens, then we throw out B. It's more like, how can I actually put them all together? So
I love
that. That's where I'm at when it comes to dating. It's like adding more fun, like in the journey. So even with that being said, I find that I'm still in integrity, still in alignment with who I am, but maybe I might swipe for someone without anything written on their bio. Like maybe I just saw a cute face, and my way of kind of like seeing or getting a feel of who they are is through my conversation. Whereas let's say before, if someone didn't have a bio that didn't say they're looking for a partner, wife, that doesn't necessarily, that's like where I've shifted a little bit. Like it's okay if I want to like swipe because I thought he was cute. So what? You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And it's okay if I swipe, it's okay if he swipes and he's like, one guy I swiped with, well, last week or 2 weeks ago, and he was so fun. He was like, do you want a cute boyfriend? I could come back. I'm a nomad. Like, I come to Bangkok, whatever, you know, and I was laughing. I was like, that was a really cute line. 2 days later, he was like, okay, I'm in my hotel and I'm leaving in 2 days. He's like, you want to have fun tonight? It didn't resonate with me.
Yeah.
No, thank you. I don't want to have fun with you tonight. Full stop. Like, if I felt connected and I want to have fun, I would have wanted to have fun. But my point was that I'm not going to be out of integrity.
Yeah.
But like maybe before I would have like unmatched him and I'm like, no, he didn't just ask me if I want to have fun. I would have made it bigger.
Yeah.
Right? I would have just, and it's like, oh, he wants to have fun. I want to have fun. It's not a match. Okay. Goodbye. Like even energetically, it didn't even feel, it felt light. That's where my growth has been. Like, I don't have to make everything so big, like a big deal. I feel like it's created like lightness. So if someone's approaching me, let's say for sex or stuff, I don't get all, how they want to have sex with me? Like, or, you know, you only should come to me if you're trying to be my husband. Like, you know what I mean? Like that energy of like, I'm only about this. And I'm like, I don't even need to do all of that. Like, unnecessary. And I feel like that's what's created, like, this lightness of being. And I find that I'm able to laugh more. And it just allows me to have more playful energy. Like, I don't find that I'm, like, bent out of shape. And I do think there is something to be said about, like, lightness energy. Like, men can pick up. This is, I only know heterosexual but relationships, but like men can pick up your energy as well. Like even when you're not interested, it's so different when you're just like, oh, I'm not interested, versus like, I can't believe you said this to me. not when you're just dating and you don't even really know them. You know what I mean? Like,
See, I'm just love learning. That though, Nicole, that like even the idea of lightness, you know, like whether it's something that you would respond to differently 5 years ago, or, you know, whether it's something that's like, it's inappropriate, but I'm gonna make a joke out of it. Like, I love that. So there's the question. You said that, you know, there were different ways that you would respond, or, you know, maybe there was a block or whatever. Like, what was your process of opening the blocks or getting to a place that it's humorous? Because I think dating and the aspiration to want to be married oftentimes is like a serious thing, or wanting to have kids. It's a serious thing, and it's sensitive and it's vulnerable. And like the way that you're talking, you've gone through a process of coming to terms with, I'm going to enjoy this, and I'm going to be humorous, and I'm going to be playful. How did you get there?
You know, I always think about who's the woman I want to be. Like, who do I see my future self as? And I've been thinking about, what are the things she had to do to be this person? I feel like I want to be someone who inspires others. I want someone who recognizes that some people believe that the only way is to work hard to get something. And I do believe in ease and flow. And I'm like, if I want to have ease and flow, how do I like work myself up to ease and flow, which is in my being? Also, my process has just been, if I've been doing something a certain way and I still haven't garnered the results, then just like anything else, you make shifts. What reward am I getting to keep doing the same thing? And I'm like, I'd rather be at peace not having the things I want, rather be angry not having the things I want. Like, you know, and I look at women like Tracee Ellis Ross. So let's say worst case scenario, I never married, I never had children. That would be someone that I would love to be, like stylish, empowering women, laughs at her own self, living luxuriously,
amen,
having great friendships. If not, if I am the woman who has all the things, it's like a Michelle Obama mixed with a Rihanna, which is I do things my way and they happen as if. Like, I know people also talk about like the Rihanna and like his name, who should have her or not, and she's not married, but the thing that I see about her is that she's doing things her own way.
Absolutely.
Like, only you know what's best for you. And just because you're married, let's say, for example, marriage does not mean equal happy. Just the same way single doesn't mean that you are miserable.
Yeah.
So because I know these like variables, I'd rather live my life feeling peace, feeling ease, feeling calm. Because if I know that I want these things, I want partnership because I truly enjoy my life. And I'm at this phase where I no longer want to keep telling people stories about things I did. I want to be like, babe, let's do this together.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I'm at. And I want a child because something that Erica Badu said on her design, she's talking about her daughter. I don't know if she said extension on my design, but I literally want to create because I'm in this space of pure love. Like, I feel like before when I wanted a child, it was because I wanted to be the parent like my parent wasn't, or I wanted to, like, I feel like I wanted to prove a point. I think because I've done so much shadow work or inner work, all of my intentions are coming from this very pure space, which feels really good. Like, I don't want a man because I want them to fill me up. It's more like I just want someone to do life with, partnership, amen, to have fun with.
Amen.
I want a child because I want something to be a refinement on my design, just like I am a refinement on my dad's design, my mom's design. Like, I'm the best version. I would want something to be better than me. And especially with all this healing work, I always think how beautiful to create something that extends from myself, that is love and light, and just making love be a beautiful thing. And like, that it's okay to just want to be on the planet to give love and like be an extension of that. So like, those are my reasons. And I think about that, and that like lights me up.
Yeah.
And because I know that the person that you choose partnership for, especially, you know, hopefully the person's with me till the, as my supervisor said today, he's like, he didn't see anyone else you want to do life with, right? Because I also know this is a very serious idea, I'm actually okay if I'm having little missteps in my dating, because I do take it seriously, the person I choose. It's just like if you're choosing a doctor, right? You're doing a lot of research. You're gonna have a major surgery. You're probably going and vetting and like going through the surgeons to make, you know what I mean? To make such of a decision. Or if you're going to buy a house, you probably vetted the area. Like any big life decision, you're usually not just taking any and anything.
Right.
So I think about that when I think about partnerships. So to me, my relationships that didn't work recently, it's like, oh, okay, I'm happy that I found out now that this wouldn't work for me, because some of these things wouldn't create a long-standing relationship, you know? So I think I try to put all of those things in perspective. And I will say another thing that helps me is knowing people who have successful marriages.
Mm-hmm.
And you also mentioned this, like, in the, asking,
yeah, you mentioned
asking
that,
asking and speaking, yeah, speaking to your elders, whoever they are in your life, and having these real conversations, people that can give you those raw, like, uncut, not people who are just married, because you don't want it from just anyone that's married, but people who, like, you like their interactions. Like for me, I like observing people. Like, how do these people talk with each other? Because to me, it's not about just like, I want to talk to somebody who's been married 30 years. That doesn't mean it was like beautiful 30 years.
Exactly.
And I don't mean that they have to have a perfect marriage. That's also not what I'm saying. But someone that emulates the kind of relationship you would want to have. And I'm thankful I have someone in my life who I can ask those questions, especially if I'm bugging out. You know, because sometimes I'm going to bug out and I'm going to be unrealistic, or I might be doing the most. And sometimes you need someone to kind of like check you, like Nicole. Like.
Right.
And I think that that's why sisterhood is important. I think that's why it's good to have equally yoked friendships. I know we talk about partnerships, but like from the last time we've recorded, I've definitely nurtured some key friendships in my life where I can like tell them something and they will honestly be like, okay, Nicole, you're doing the most. Or, okay, you know what? I can see where you're saying with that. But have you considered, not like the friends that's going to be like, dump him, don't talk to him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The ones who throw you at the end. Like I have some rational and where I can tell the whole story. I don't have to just tell my part. I think that that's also important, which also means that I've had to be more vulnerable. I tend to be like a very private, you know, just because of the way I was raised. But I realized that if I want to have also quality relationships, you're going to have to share. You can't wait to share when everything has hit the fan, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to give them a little bit of.
Absolutely.
So I think that that also has been something that I've added in the mix. And I think, quite frankly, when you have some good girlfriends, you don't tend to dump on the men in your life. Because you already have a space to talk. Now you don't have to complain. And, you know, these are for women who are partnered or in relationship. Like, when you have a trusted circle, you don't have to air every single thing that's getting on your nerve with your relationship with your actual partner. You can actually have a safe space to let it out and to see if you're bugging. And I know that depending on your culture, people might not like that. This is not saying talking about your problems about your partner, but sometimes it's just things. You just have to like say it out, you know, you have to kind of like let it off your system. It's kind of like if you want to curse out your friend, someone might tell you it's better to just journal it real quick.
Right. It's like, before that reaction.
That's like some, So I would say that that would be the added thing. Just thinking about the woman I want to be, looking at, you know, I guess my celebrity role model and then my real life. That's been like the added thing that I have been doing. I mean, you need a community.
Yeah.
an equally yoked community, because it can't be these extremes. I think that's also what I like with my community in terms of our friendship, like equally yoked in that we know what we're pursuing. We have very similar values.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to have friends who are, let's say, they're so angry at all men, because that's not going to be the person that you're going to want to share. But
the pessimism.
I think that part it's really important. Really important, because just as much as I'm all about mindset coach and mindfulness, but the strongest influence over you are the people you keep around you. You have to be mindful about that, especially when it's in the area of like dating and stuff, because I know it can just go off the deep end. I've just seen it. I've heard it. Be on Facebook groups. I see what people say, and it can get dangerous.
Yeah.
Be careful about who you keep around you, who's taking up a lot of your mental space, especially on the areas of your life that feel super sensitive. Like if you know you want partnership, if you know Sasha or what have you saying some other crazy stuff, don't talk to her about it.
One of the words, or at least the questions that's sitting in my mind as we get ready to wrap up the episode, is if you could describe the distinct difference, or if there is a difference, between relationships in the States and relationships abroad, what would you say?
I think the main difference is that when you're abroad, first of all, it's so transient, right? And you don't know if someone is passing through. Like living in Bangkok, same like being in the UAE, you don't know if someone's passing through because they're traveling. Nowadays, it could be also because they're nomadic, like maybe they're going to be in Bangkok just for 1 month. So that instability is like people are on the apps, and like sometimes they'll even say they want love, but like they're about to leave, and it's like all weird because it's like you're staying, you're going, what do you want? Mm. So I think it's that part. Then you add the cultural aspect. You are literally getting United Nations on one app. And as a result of that, I think even as a person living abroad, there's almost so much nuance within dating and dating expectations. Like for some people, when you say dating, they think that means automatically you're having sex or you're sleeping with someone. It's just like the word hooking up. Like some people say hooking up and it just meant we met. Some people hooking up meant we kiss, hooking up for some. So even culturally being able to unravel what everything means. Like I remember I had matched with this Malaysian dude, but he was Malaysian, but he was first generation Malaysian. Like he was from China, right? So I'll just give an example. I don't like to talk too long on apps. Like I like to just kind of like, let's meet. I remember I was like, oh, so like, let's meet up. And then, you know, he said to me, he was like, oh, so is this a date? And like, I giggled because generally speaking, I feel like if I'm going out to meet you for a drink or whatever, like that's considered a date. But what I gathered from that was like, he, maybe it's new for him. And then I later learned that he recently divorced. So then that made me realize that this is all new to him. Like if you've been married for like 8 years, 9 years, you probably don't know what a date is, right? So I think that sometimes abroad, it can feel very elementary. And with that requires a lot of patience. Mm. I find that just the nature of who I am, I love clarity anyway. I don't mind asking extra questions. But if you're like easily bothered and annoyed, I can see how someone can be like, oh gosh, or overthink something. Like, I remember talking to this guy from France, and he just said that like for him culturally, like if you date with someone, you're right away, it's a monogamous. And then he said, you know, dating is such an American thing, this idea that you're with this many people. And he was like, we don't do that here. So like that was something new for me to understand.
Yeah.
So the biggest difference I find is that you, it's not even so much about the race thing, but like culturally, like understanding what's happening. Like, are we on a date? Are we dating? Are you seeing other people? Because there's so many like different expectations and understanding of dating.
Yeah.
So that's the part that I find to be tricky, or you just have to ask these questions. And I think it's helpful because going back to the healing thing, it's like, it's just best like not to make an assumptions. sometimes if someone's asking you questions, sometimes it's not necessarily like someone's racist or whatever. Like sometimes people just really don't know. Not that I could think of a question right now, but it's almost like you're just on a very clean slate. So I feel like every encounter, I literally start like a clean slate. Like I literally try to go with brand new eyes, fresh new, you know what I mean? Which is probably why I like to meet people right away, because if you find that you're saying the same thing, especially when someone's like, the same questions you get. What brought you here?
Where are you from? What do you do on the weekends?
Exactly. Like dating abroad is like those questions. Whereas, you know, when you're in your hometown, it's like, it's almost like AOL, like age, sexual location. Like, where you at? Like, it's like Bruno Mars. And bring it back, right? It's like, what you do? Where you at? You got plans? All right. Like, you know what I mean? Whereas abroad, it's like, let me try to see if I can guess the country you're from and how long you've been here, how long you stay here.
And maybe this is, you know, the challenge that I'm receiving from you to just actually start meeting up with folks. Because when you said that it feels elementary, it reminds me of pre-K, teaching in pre-K. And my mantra every day when I would show up to class is, every day is a new day. Little Johnny that was clown, or look, in the case for me, Muhammad who was clowning yesterday was starting from scratch today. So I'm imagining that's literally what you have to do. Yeah.
And which it's is a why, fresh start. You know, going back to, yeah, that's why mindfulness is important to me and mindset. You have to have things that nurture your soul. You have to have a routine, a regimen, a ritual, what have you. Because, yeah, those can be exhausting. But these things I do every morning, the meditating, the listening to Clubhouse, I post on my IG like every day, almost every day, like working out. These things put me in a good state.
Yeah.
You could only make great decisions when you are in a great state. If you are angry, you are not going to call your friend. If you're angry, you're not going to go on a job interview. It's the same way with your life and every day. Like you have to make it a lifestyle, and doing these things that are already complicating within itself, you have to have a ritual. You have to have a way. And what I used to do, and I said it on the last, you know, recording, and I'll say it again, I also give myself breaks. Like, and that's the knowing yourself piece, and that's the being your own guru. I don't need someone to tell me when time to take a break from an app. If I'm feeling like I'm run down or I'm being agitated or things are starting to annoy me, I take a break for like a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And then I go back on like again. It's just like if you were working out or you were doing something else, I apply that same thing. And I don't make myself bad or wrong about it. It's just like when you know that you need to take a break with life, same thing. Because it does require energy. And we all want to show up and be our best self, not a fake self, but you want to be present. You want to be pleasant. And whatever you need to do to get to that space is important so that you can come and have like this lightness of energy. It's great going on a date after you've been on a vacation, right? Because you got that light energy, you're like good. Yeah, something to glowing. Talk about, right? You're glowing, got that tan. No one's trying to go when you have a whole lot of stressful meetings or your entrance that you might get a job. You don't. I remember my spiritual teacher has said this before. You know, how you do one thing is how you do everything. That's why a lot of things I do, this holistic approach, I kind of just apply it to everything else. Just like if I'm working out, if I'm feeling burnt out, I take a break.
Yeah.
If I'm feeling stressed out, I take a break. Like, some things are really just, sometimes we overcomplicate stuff, and sometimes we just need to simplify. But like you said, if you don't have a mental space for that, you don't realize that we can, like, complicate it. Sometimes we put pressure on ourselves that we don't need to.
Yeah. That, all
and
that.
And even if we're adults, and just back to the fun. I don't know whoever told us that once we leave childhood that we don't have to have fun. This is a game. Like, let's have fun. Let's have fun on the pursuit.
Amen.
Like, anytime when you were getting your PhD, I'm sure you remember more about the process of getting the PhD than the actual graduation.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right?
The graduation
so
was.
So it's like, right. That's going to be us at our wedding day. You're going to be like, oh, shit. Like, we took the pictures. But the part that we're going to remember is these conversations. Like us being on a podcast. those are the things that we actually laugh and remember.
Yep.
So when you start realizing that you start to have fun, like, oh, word, I ain't messing up again. Like, what? And I guess that's how I think about it. And that's also something I've added with my friends. My little, like, clique is, like, I said to them, like, we are going to be laughing so much at my wedding because we're going to have all these inside jokes about these failed dates. Like, I've gone to a wedding where you remember the drama, you remember the ups and downs, and you just feel like, oh, like, I'm so happy.
Y'all did.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? And we've also gone to a wedding where you, like, didn't know anything. And you're just like, okay, I'm just happy at the wedding. But there's always, to me, the most fruitful ones are the ones where I knew the story. Or, like, you knew when things were, like, crazy. And I am, oh, my gosh. And that's how I want my friends to feel at my wedding. And I feel like even that gives me, like, peace. Like, I have this joke with one of my girlfriends, and I'm always like, oh, this is just another added story to my chapter. Like that's, like, what I say.
Amen.
We just laugh about it.
Amen. You know? I love that. Yep. And it just goes in the book and we keep it moving. So Nicole, let's talk about your mindfulness coaching. I know there are listeners just wanting to know more.
I have a coaching program. It's really around liberation and feeling grounded abroad. I've never wanted to consider myself a healer, but we don't talk enough about liberation of the mind and feeling grounded, because this journey abroad is not the easiest. But I think it's the most transformative. And I know oftentimes we only talk about the logistical parts of moving abroad, which I will help you with in terms of, like, you know, how do you decide where you want to move and all of that. But I wanted to create a program that really focused. I feel for me, the greatest part of my journey has been my self-discovery, mindfulness, like having tools for when life seems very crazy abroad. Self-discovery, mindset, and mindfulness. Those three things coming together is what's allowed me to be abroad for the last 8+ years. Mm. Living in 3 different countries, being able to cultivate excellent friendships, being able to have successful dating life, almost finding 2 husbands.
Amen.
To always have ease and realize that I get to have radical responsibility in my life. I am aware that there are a lot of soulful expats, like women who want to strengthen their spiritual toolbox, their mindset toolbox, so that they could essentially design their best life abroad. And that is essentially what I am creating. This is like, I want us to escape to freedom, like freedom of mind, having more ease, lightness
that.
Of being, like feeling light. And also, I may add, I don't necessarily believe in this ideology that if I am Black, I belong in certain countries. I'm sorry, I don't subscribe to that. What are there, 192 countries? I don't even know. I may have missed that or counted. But this idea that there are only X amount of countries that are for Black people, I don't believe in that. I do believe that you can take a soul journey. And just like myself, like how I'm in Bangkok, I was in Egypt before this. Like, sometimes we feel called to go to certain places. And that in itself is a limitation when someone says that only a certain place is for Black people. I don't like that. I don't like that conversation. My program is really around that. If you just follow me, The Soulful Expat, more information will be there. But the idea is very much liberation and feeling grounded wherever you are in the world, because that is something that I realized. That's my gift. My friends in the States always say I don't look like what I've gone through. And I realize it's because of these things that I do to keep myself at peace. And you don't have to look like what you go through. You don't. And I feel like that's where I'm feeling channeled and called to really empower more liberation and not escapism, because our minds are really important.
Yeah.
And I know there's a whole thing about generational wealth, which I really love. I feel like my calling is for generational healing.
Amen.
And that's really what I want to impart on soul-led Black and brown women who really want to expand and just feel light abroad.
Nicole, this has been amazing.
It's always a pleasure, divine pleasure.
Oh, amen. Thank you for being on the podcast.
Always.
This podcast is produced by Dr. Tiffany Lachelle Smith. Be sure to follow Abroad in Education on IG and Twitter, and subscribe to my newsletter at abroadineducation.com.